reading Judges chapter 17. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother. And his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Well, we have an example here of false religion, lawless religion. And in our day, we might call it lawless Christianity. Now, you would think that this account, being at the end of the book of Judges, must follow chronologically from the previous chapters. So you'll think, well, this must have happened at the end of Judges. But it doesn't actually quite fit. This can't really have happened at the end of Judges, because they went from Judges to Samuel. And really, rather than being at the end of Judges, this account should be at the beginning. And it probably is going to be somewhere around, if you go to chapter 2, round about verse 11. It's after the death of Joshua. We read in verse 11, And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies and round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. And it's thought that this account of Micah and what he did perhaps comes at the end of Judges, because he was a destroyer of true religion, whereas Samuel, who comes just after Ruth, that short book of Ruth at the end of Judges, Samuel was the reformer or the restorer of true religion. And so I'd like us together to have a look at what went wrong in Micah's household. He starts off with a biblical name, doesn't he? And plainly his mother knows something about the Lord, because in verse 2 she says, his mother, blessed be thou of the Lord, that is Jehovah, my son. So she knew the name of God. She knew something about true religion. But the Bible says something about money, doesn't it? It says the love of money, it's not money itself, the love of money is the root of evil, of all kinds of evil. We'll find that in the book of James. And this Micah's mother had plainly done rather well for herself. She had amassed, saved, 1,100 shekels of silver. But unfortunately, her son was a thief, and her son stole it from her. How sad. How sad that her son was so dishonest and so ungrateful to his mother for all the good things that she had done for him. And isn't that a good starting point, children? It's so easy to take our parents for granted, isn't it? It's so easy to look at their faults, things that they've done wrong to us, and perhaps to become bitter, and perhaps to think that we've got a right to be disobedient to them, perhaps that we've got a right to take things from them that don't belong to us. Maybe thinking that, well, one day they'll belong to me, so I'll take it early. But that's stealing, isn't it? And we're told to honour our mother and father. And if we want to have a blessing in life, it's the first commandment with blessing. So the first lesson I think we learn from Micah's experience is we don't do like Micah. We honour our mother and father. And we look to all the good things they've done for us and we show gratitude to them. Because where would we be if we didn't have our mothers and fathers? Well, we'd be in this country, we'd be in some kind of foster care. Worst case scenario, we'd be in an orphanage. But we're not. We've all got parents. We've all got somewhere to live. Let's be grateful, friends, and let's honour our parents. Not like Micah, who stole from his mother. His mother's reaction showed what she thought of the money. She cursed. She must have suspected Micah because she cursed in his ears, no doubt to make him feel guilty, and it worked. And so he admits to his mother, I took it. And there's another lesson, isn't it? Forgive me for pressing it, but if we have done wrong at home, we know we have offended our parents. Maybe we've stolen. I hope we never have. Maybe we've done something equally bad. Look what happened here. He apologizes. He admits his wrongdoing and look immediately at his mother's reaction. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Although she was plainly very angry, yet when her son apologized, she forgave him. And parents love their children. And if we have done wrong to our parents, the best way of restoring peace to the household is to say sorry. And look what happens. He restored the money to his mother. She wanted to give it back. I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. She was going to give the money back to him. But note what she said, and isn't this strange? I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image. And doesn't that at first sight seem a noble thing to have done? But there's a problem, isn't there? If you go to Exodus 20, verse 4, we find that Micah's mother has forgotten the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. This is a woman who wanted to have a form of religion, but outside the Word of God. Friends, this is why there was lawlessness in Israel. And we read in verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This woman thought, I'll make an idol. But if I dedicate this idol to the Lord, in some way that will make good my wrongdoing. Friends, it will never, we will never be able to make up for something bad by having a good motive for it. We need to do things from the right principles. And she did things from the wrong principles. Yes, she was right, of course, to want to dedicate her money to the Lord, but not to make an idol, so that she could worship the Lord, because we read in 1 Corinthians that when you make an idol and worship that idol, thinking you're worshiping God, you're worshiping a devil. So easy to go into false religion when we leave the principles of God's word behind. And then there's another point we notice about Micah's mother. She had dedicated the whole of that amount to make an idol. But in the event, she changed her mind. Verse 4. Yet he restored the money unto his mother. He gave the money back to his mother. And his mother took 200 shekels of silver. Not the 1,100 that she'd promised. The 200. And gave them to the founder. She kept back 900 shekels that she'd promised to the Lord. Friends, we have in the New Testament an example of where Ananias and Sapphira did exactly that same thing. That they pretended that they were giving the price of land that they'd sold to Peter and the disciples for the use of the Lord. But they lied because they'd kept back part of the price. And it cost them their lives. Friends, isn't it easy to say to the Lord, I'm giving you everything, and then holding back when we know we should give him everything. We promised him everything, but when it comes to the point of delivery, when we've got to decide whether everything means everything, we decide that it doesn't mean everything, it just means a part. And that could be our lives, can't it? It could be, this is 200 out of 1,100 shekels. So that's 2 out of 11. That's just under 20% of what she had. And it could be 20% of our lives. I'll give 20% of my life to the Lord, but I'll keep back the other 80%. So I'll come to church. I'll come to the Friday clubs. I might say prayers. I'll say prayers because I have to at home. But I'm going to spend the rest of the day on my computer. And I will play games on the internet. Christianity will have no part at school because it's not very popular with my friends. That's my 20%. Friends, 20% really is nothing. It becomes nothing. Because we're playing religion on our terms and not God's terms. For the Lord requires our whole heart, not just some. Have a look at Galatians 2, verse 20. And we see what is required of the Christian.
Galatians
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see that a Christian is someone who's died, who no longer lives to himself? So this idea of just giving part of myself is actually giving none of myself. Because for the Christian to truly be converted, we have to die. And the Lord Jesus talks in Luke 9 about dying daily, taking up our cross daily, denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily, and following the Lord. Every day we have to sacrifice all in our hearts for Christ. We have to live for Christ, live according to his word. Do you remember the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4? He said to the devil, when the devil said, turn this stone into bread, these stones into bread, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. That's how a Christian lives, according to the word of God alone. Unlike Micah and his mother. And so they made this graven image in the house of Micah. And Micah had a son. And he made him an ephod and teraphim, similar but not the same as the priests. And so he made his son into the same kind of idol worshipper that he was. Friends, let's be very careful here. If we have a wrong conception of biblical Christianity, if we're not following the Bible ourselves, then if we're not very careful, we're going to pass on our same wrong understanding and wrong practice to our children. And we will simply continue down the generations what we've started. And that's what happened in here. And what a disaster that was. Because what happened in one household was multiplied into many households, and the whole of Israel turned away from the Lord and came under the judgment of God. And it took many years and the chastening by God of his people in captivity to bring them back to the Lord. Friends, if we get it right ourselves, then we will be able to pass on the truth to our children, and they will have a true faith. But if we've got things wrong in our own hearts, if we're not following the word of God ourselves, and we pass on our wrong understandings to our children, we're simply going to make our children as bad, if not worse, than ourselves. And we think we're pleasing God, but we become his enemies. And so his son became his priest. And then in verse 6, we have that verse I've already mentioned. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did what which was right in his own eyes. And friends, people do tend not to like to hear correction. But God has put in his house a structure of authority. And friends, that authority is based on one thing alone. It's based on the word of God. And therefore, if there are ministers who are speaking the word of God and correcting by the word of God, we must be very careful if we don't obey what they say. Verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 13, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now, that's not to say that you do everything that the minister says. And I am the minister here, and I would never want people to blindly follow what I say. The Lord forbid. But don't forget that a minister watches for the souls of the flock. And the eldership of this church, myself and Brother Ernie, watch for the souls of this flock. And if we correct with the word of God, then we must be very careful if we disobey that correction. Because plainly, the problem in Israel is there was no one to correct them. And what happens? Anarchy resulted. And that's what will happen if we disobey those who seek to bring the word of God. And this church will never grow if we don't all apply ourselves to the word of God. And if we are corrected because we're not walking according to the word of God, then let us examine ourselves before we reject that correction. Because if that correction is truly from the word of God, it comes from the heart of people who watch out for your souls, knowing that they must give, that we must give an account to the Lord, and wanting to give a good account at the end of our lives and yours. So every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and tragically, this had entered the church. Verse 7, and there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. He was staying there, living there. But then the man, verse 8, departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. He was looking for a better place to live. And you could think about that when you're 18. Some of you have reached that dizzy height. Others will be getting there quite soon. And you'll be saying, right, time to leave home and to go and make my living. And so many people today just look to see where they can go so they'll be better off, more comfortable. This Levite, think about what he could have done. He could have gone to Micah and said, Micah, this is idolatry. The Lord says, thou shalt have no other image, and make no graven image. Thou shalt worship the Lord, if he was a Christian, in spirit and in truth. Put away these idols. What does he do? He came to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I might find a place. I'm going to stay where I'll find a place, somewhere to welcome me in. Was that the right attitude? He was just looking for somewhere comfortable to live. He wasn't looking for any challenges. He wasn't looking to challenge anybody else. Just to find comfort. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. Can you see his mistake, friends, what he did wrong? He was seduced by the promise of a good income, clothes, food to fill his belly. All he had to do was bow down himself to this idolatry. Friends, it's going to come to all of us, that test. Will we be true to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will we be willing to forsake everything in his service? Will we be like Paul, as I read in Galatians 2, verse 20, who see that to be a Christian is to die to the old man, to die to the man that we were born with, as to let that old nature be nailed to the cross, which it was when Christ was crucified? Or, friends, are we going to give in to that old nature? Are we going to say, no, I'm going to avoid the challenges that the gospel brings? No, I'm going to have a comfortable life instead. Many people have gone that way. Got a nice big pension coming. So they won't leave the Church of England, for example. Now, I'm not here to judge whether at what point people should leave, but it's like a frog that jumps into a pot of boiling water will leap out. But a frog who's put in cold water, which is gradually brought to the boil, won't notice the change of temperature. And friends, if we stay in a position of compromise, as the compromise gets worse, we won't notice it. We are called as Christians to be separate from the world, to be strangers and pilgrims. Are we willing to go where the Lord leads, forsaking everything else, trusting Him alone to lead us, to clothe us, and to feed us? Because what happened with Micah's Levite was that he wasn't willing to trust the Lord to lead him. We don't see him praying for direction when he left Bethlehem, Judah, do we? He doesn't pray, "Lord, lead me." He finds somewhere more comfortable. He looks to Micah to clothe him, to feed him. And in return, he feeds Micah with a false sense of security. He makes Micah think that all is well with his soul. And for a short while, it was. Look at verse 13. "Then said Micah, 'Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest.'" Everything seemed to be going well with Micah. But it was to be short-lived, friends. The next chapter, the priest finds a better offer. We see that his name is Jonathan. He may even have been the grandson of Moses. Isn't that frightening? How quickly, if it's true, he left his grandfather's faith. Friends, what's the lesson for us this morning? The lesson is twofold, isn't it? Do nothing that the Word of God forbids. Give our whole hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a part. That's the lesson, isn't it? And let us look to the third point, isn't there? To look to the Lord for His direction in our lives. Not bargaining, saying, "Well, I'm going to give just part of my life. I want comfort for the other part. And I will have a show of religion. I'll tell people I'm a Christian, but when they look at my life, they'll realize that it's skin deep, that it doesn't go to my heart. Because my heart is really taken up with money and being rich, with those 1,100 shekels of silver." Friends, we need to give our whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and to sacrifice all for Him, to be willing to trust Him alone for our future, for our job, for our clothing, for our food, and for our friends, and for our place of worship. We need to worship in a place where God's word is taught, not a place where they've compromised and they're actually worshipping a different Jesus, who is in fact no Jesus at all. Amen.